Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Iadarola, bringing to you a big day of news that is what it is in every way. So some of that is going to be fun. Some of it not necessarily so much. You know, it is going to be fun. In the last half hour of the show, we are going to be joined by Congressman Ro Khanna. We're going to be talking about all the corruption going on with the Supreme Court and maybe a little bit more besides. But long before even that, we're joined once again by Ida Rodriguez. Ida, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it is what it is for me as well. It's been a little bit since we spoke. You've been traveling all over, right?
I have. I miss you guys. It's really been great because so many of the TYT supporters, so many people from that watch your show have been coming to my shows live. And I feel very supported in this time when, you know, we're going out into this crazy country every single day that we step out of our homes. We are risking it all.
Yep. Yeah, we're actually going to have a reminder of that at the tail end of our first block, actually. You can't walk around. God help you if you knock on a door or anything. It's fun country that we live in. Best country ever. Did you know that? Also, it's the best country that has ever existed ever, not just now. Ever, and probably we shouldn't try to improve it in any way. Anyway, we got a lot that we're gonna be talking about, people. So in advance of all that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button and sharing the stream, that would be great so the people know we're live. And if you wanna reach out to either myself or Ida with comments, tweets, super chats, questions, all of that, we'll respond as we go. And you might along the way even earn yourself a $100 Blue Apron gift card. So get those comments in. With all that said though, Ida, you ready to jump into this thing?
Let's go. Let's do it together so it can be more digestible.
Let's do it together. Let our powers combine. Okay, let's do it. New details are being released about Mauricio Garcia, the man who shot and killed 8 people and injured 7 others during his shooting spree at a mall in a suburb near Dallas. There had been allegations early on that he had engaged in some way with neo-Nazi and incel content. Well, it looks like there actually had been a lot of that. So here's the details. So he had posted to the Russian site Odnoklassniki, which I'm not familiar with, handwritten material indicating that he read the Daily Stormer, a neo-Nazi website. I like just sarcastically alluded to the possibility yesterday that he would have gone to the Daily Stormer. I consider that an outdated old school Nazi thing. No, he was still doing it. He also made repeated references encouraging violence against women, of course, celebrating rape and murder, and using the vocabulary of the male supremacist incel or involuntarily celibate community. None of this seems particularly surprising. I mean, maybe the going to the Daily Stormer, but the idea that a young man who ends up trying to kill as many people as possible also violently despised women is par for the course at this point. We just, I think, sort of expect that. In any event, he posted hundreds of posts, including with explicitly racist rhetoric, of course. He apparently had the logo of the SS, a paramilitary organization with the Nazis. He got that at some point in the last year, I suppose. He apparently visited the mall beforehand to try to figure out when he would be able to do the most damage. And in addition to sort of generalized incel and Nazi content, he had made specific references to several figures on the right, including Tim Pool of Timcast, Chaya Raichik of the Libs of TikTok, and Nick Fuentes as well. Now, of course, none of those individuals knew who this person was. They didn't tell him to do this. They're not individually responsible, which is why they're not facing a lawsuit right now. But it is now on them to realize that these are the sorts of people who are paying attention to them. And look, obviously anyone could have a fan of theirs that gets violent. You know, the cast of The Marvelous Miss Maisel could have someone watch them and then go commit a terror attack. It would then be on someone to create a linkage if you want to assert some sort of responsibility. I leave that to every individual to use their own critical thinking capacity to say, is there potentially a link between an act of violence perpetrated by someone with a very clear ideological bent and the sort of content that they consume that has increasingly over the last few years openly advocated for violence? So I don't know, just putting that out there. Ida, what do you think about all this?
You know, especially in a country where we don't value nor prioritize mental health, we definitely have to take into consideration that the A word, accountability, right? So people don't have personal accountability anymore because they're so greedy. The capitalism in this country is toxic, and we've gotten to a point where everything is about making a dollar, and those dollars far more supersede the value of human life in this country. And that is why we have so many of those problems, because we don't wanna spend the dollars in mental health and helping the people who are veterans. All these patriots who love the veterans don't give a damn about them when they come back. You know, we have people who are really struggling with a lot of mental issues. One thing I wanted to quickly address with this story is because I did have a lot of people reach out to me asking me, how is it that a Latino could be a white supremacist? And he is a white man who, you know, when we talk about assimilation, which I talk about often and I get a lot of pushback, people who really want to assimilate into white culture, and then they start assuming what they think is white behavior. And white supremacy tends to be one of those behaviors that come along with people who want to assimilate into a culture so that they don't have to be part of the lower group anymore. You know, this whole thing that we have been seeing around this shooter and many of the other shooters has a lot to do with mental health. It has a lot to do with men in this time not having an opportunity to cope with their feelings and emotions because socially they've been shunned for doing that. There's a lot of stuff here that we need to unpack. And in order for us to forge forward, we have to face these things honestly, and we're not doing that.
Yeah, look, I think you rightly pointed out a few different things that we should be working on. The issue is that those that you identified, while the right will occasionally reference those things in the wake of a mass shooting as a distraction from guns, they don't then actually want to do anything about it. Like, they talk about mental health, but Reagan shut down the mental hospitals, and where's the new funding coming from? I don't see right wingers pushing for it. You know, giving men a forum to, you know, come to grips with their difficulties, their struggles, their thoughts and their feelings. If that existed, the right would be attacking it on a daily basis. So there are some issues here. And by the way, in terms of him being a supporter of white supremacy, I think you very well pointed out that that is not impossible to imagine. It is able to be understood why someone who might be Latino could also be a white supremacist. That said, I also think even if you're incapable of understanding that, and plenty of these racists don't have any knowledge of or interest in understanding the racial dynamics of Latin or South America or the history of colonization, or they don't care about any of that stuff. But I would say to them, whether it makes sense to you, it made sense to him because he was a white supremacist. Even if it seems crazy, that's what he was. So anyway, we're gonna find out more details. Of course, you know, we want to understand this sort of thing, but also sometimes it feels like finding more details about the particular crazy person who did this is a stand-in for finding details about what's going to be done to stop the next one from happening. And we sort of know deep in our gut that nothing is going to be done. So I sort of worry about that. We learned almost instantaneously after this shooting outside of Dallas that this person was some sort of Nazi, was a big fan of right-wing content and everything. And in theory, that might provide an opportunity for some of the most extreme figures on the right, those who regularly advocate for violence, to think, maybe there's consequences to this. Well, maybe not. Because have you considered the alternative to self-reflection, which is just saying it's a false flag? It's much easier on the mind, and simple-minded people find it very appealing. Here's examples of that. When we find out that this guy has spent years posting on right-wing sites, Cat Turd, who I've learned over the past year is one of the most important influencers in the world, posted most obvious psyop ever. And you might wonder, wait, why is it the most obvious psyop ever? Well, it's actually not complicated to figure out. Because it makes the right look bad. And that's it. That's the whole thing. That's why it's a psyop. It doesn't look good for them, and so it probably didn't happen. Now look, Cat Turd hasn't been implicated in any of this. Obviously, Tim Pool is gonna be a bit defensive because this guy apparently was a fan of his or whatever. So he posts that it's obviously a psyop. Again, not explaining why that is, other than the fact that it's an inconvenient reality that this person liked a lot of figures on the right, not just Tim Pool, but a bunch of them. He goes on to say, by the way, almost echoing in some ways, stuff that Ida was saying recently, we need to figure out what the issue is in our society, in our culture. I genuinely believe it's dissociation. It's a dejected society where individuals don't know or care about each other, and they seek validation or they seek to push some extremist ideology. And I largely agree with that. And it's good to see that sort of message coming from Tim Pool, who has never pushed for people to hate each other or hate other groups in America. You know, he's not an active participant in a multi-year war to get every single white conservative American to believe that the mere existence of a trans person is an existential threat to their entire way of life. He'd never do anything like that. None of them push racism or misogyny or xenophobia or anti-Semitism. None of them contribute to the feelings of social isolation that he's talking about right there. My God, how convenient it is. But it goes beyond just the Tim Pools. Literal geniuses are convinced that this is a psyop. So a crazy person named the redheaded libertarian, who I think is involved with the Blazer, Alex Jones, it doesn't matter, whatever, was posting that because Ian Miles Chong, who just posts about American politics or whatever, says that this guy is posting this right-wing stuff. She says it's a psyop. Elon Musk responds, this gets weirder by the moment. But does it get weirder? As we find out that the guy who obsessed over guns and wanted to kill a bunch of people was a Nazi online. Is that weird as we get more details? It's worrisome. It's concerning. It might be depressing. Is it weird though? It's only weird if your goal is not to understand what happened and stop it from happening again, but make sure that the right comes out of this without looking any badder than it's gonna. Then maybe it's weird. How are we gonna deal with this anyway? Of course, he's not a genius. He's a complete moron. Before I toss to Ida for comment, I will just leave you with this thought. If it's a psyop, that means the FBI did it, the CIA did it, whatever. Depending on which crazy person online, they'll say a different one. So then you probably should ask yourself, they're not going to, but you should ask yourself, why? Why did the FBI make a multi-year fake history of Nazism online for this guy? Why did they give him a gun? Why did they have him shoot a bunch of people? And they actually, some of them have an answer for that. And that answer is to take away our guns, you see. That's what the false flag is for. You do this shooting and then you take the guns. However, this isn't my first day doing this show. I've been around for, I don't know, 30, 50, 100 times that they've said that exact same thing about past mass shootings. And so I'm left wondering, so when are they gonna take the guns then? Because the FBI has gone to a lot of trouble to kill a lot of Americans to justify stealing guns, and they just keep forgetting to do it in the end. It's just a big oopsie daisy. I guess the paperwork got misfiled or something. They did the terrorist attack and then they forgot to actually ban the guns. Isn't that weird, Ida?
Yeah, it is. You forgot the martial law step before they take the gun.
That's true. That's true. They keep forgetting to do a martial law.
It's coming. It's coming. And we got to get ready. You know what I think is most concerning to me is that they had a whole thread of tweets about their conspiracies about what is happening behind the scenes of this shooter, but not one to express any sympathy for the people who lost their lives. And it's just because when you think about someone like Elon Musk, people are cattle to him. And those are the people who show up at his place of work and they get exploited so that he can be cool on Twitter. I've actually been in a room with him and opted not to meet him, but to watch the way people idolize him and wanting to be in his presence was embarrassing for me, because especially people of color who line themselves up with capitalism in a way that is capitalism has benefited greatly from slavery. It has been driven, you know, slavery was driven by capitalism because capitalism and white supremacy are like twins. And so it's just so funny to me to see people just rush and wanting to be in the presence of someone like Elon Musk because it's aspirational, the American dream, without even thinking about the story behind him with apartheid and what happened in South Africa and how people acquired their money. That being said, I'm on a tangent, I know, but it's just amazing to me how so much was put into the conspiracies behind this stuff, but no one ever expressed any type of compassion or care for the people who lost their lives and the people who have to live with that wreckage.
Yeah, 100%. I have not been in a room with Elon Musk. It probably wouldn't go well, but I will say, this is my theory. Not a single one of his cultists would accept this. But I have always thought, I think one of the reasons that these people love people like Elon Musk and Donald Trump is they don't want to worship truly impressive people who work hard and accomplish great things and think outside the box.
Yeah.
They say that, they pretend, they create this aura that that's what it is, but they don't want that because that's hard. It would be hard to do that. It would be hard to be that. But if you could reach the top and be thoroughly mediocre, well, then there's hope for me. I could potentially do that. I could not be charismatic. I could not be funny. I could not be clever. So I think they secretly want that, Ida. It really is, there's a reason that conservative ideology is as hierarchical as it is. I've been talking about that a lot recently. There's a reason that they want a hierarchy for everything, okay? They want a racial hierarchy where white people are top. They want a gender hierarchy where men are at the top. Same for being cis, same for being straight, same for being all these things. Because the good thing about a hierarchy, assuming that you're in the good category, is that you are already the best. You didn't have to do anything except be born. It is the appetite for successful mediocrity that demands a system where you've already won. And if that could be buttressed by the best, biggest people also being as mediocre as you know deep down inside that you are, well then reality seems like understandable. Success seems achievable. I think that's why they love this stuff.
Yeah.
Ideology.
No, absolutely. You're 100% correct. I don't know if you are 100% correct, but I totally agree with your point of view. How about that? I'm trying to be smarter in how I express it. Because I think that the people who are out there who are willing to do the most ridiculous and egregious things are the ones who get angry because they believe their opinion is law. And if you disagree with them, then you are the enemy.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, well, look, okay, I want to get to, let's jump ahead to graphic 10. We're going to get ready for that. We have one more aspect of this that I think we should get to with the time that we have. So it has become just a normal expected thing on an almost daily basis in America that people will lose their lives or come very close to losing their lives simply because they happen to be near people with guns who are scared of their shadow, scared of everything. We had like a 4-day string of terrible tragedies a week and a half ago as a result of that. I'm gonna add this to the list. It involves David Doyle, a 58-year-old Louisiana man. He's now been arrested after shooting his 14-year-old neighbor in the back of her head. Here is David Doyle. You know why he shot her in the back of the head? Because kids were playing tag or hide and seek nearby, and he was terrified that marauders were rampaging through his town. And so he had to shoot first and will probably never ask questions. But he said he unknowingly hit the girl after opening fire on a group of people running away from his home. They were all kids. They were playing hide and seek. They were headed away from him. But still, the fear cannot be contained. I just have to kill whatever I can before it gets out of my range to kill. It doesn't matter if they're kids, 14-year-old girl, whatever. It needs to die so I can feel comfortable once again. Anyway, totally needless. He said he saw shadows outside his home. So he ran in and got his gun and came out blazing. America, Ida, is filled with David Doyle's. This one's in Louisiana. This one's 58 years old, but there are so many David Doyles all over this country, and they're just waiting to be spooked. Maybe by it's a little girl playing tag. Maybe it's a possum on a fence, doesn't matter, but they're ready to go and get whatever rifle and shotgun they have and start lighting up the neighborhood. What do you think?
I mean, you know, two cheerleaders got shot a few weeks ago. A young boy who went to the wrong door, picking up his siblings, got shot. Thankfully, he's still alive. There's a young woman who was shot and murdered. That was like a 20-something, early 20s. And the stories continue. The problem is here in this country is that as this gun thing grows with this, you know, Donald Trump did a really good job at really polarizing the country. And they are, you know, indoctrinating these people for their own personal gain. The mental health, like I said, is dissipating, and the little that we do have. So it's just that, you know, I continue to argue that this will go down in history as our dark ages. We are in a place where technology is here and humanity is down here. And there we are having a hard time finding balance. And it is because the almighty dollar rules over everything. But those of us who have children, who are people of color, who are belong to any marginalized group, whether they're queer, black, women, we all have to be on high alert, as we've always had to be in historically, because there are people out there who now have a license to kill, and they are doing it. And as long as the government keeps getting rich with the corporations, they don't give a damn because they're not affected by this. And until they are, God forbid, because I don't wish bad on anybody, but until they are, it won't be, it won't matter to them, because those people don't matter to them.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, the Republican governors aren't losing sleep over this. They don't care. So to clarify, I think it was clear, but just in case it wasn't, she thankfully miraculously survived this. She's at the hospital, like non-life threatening injuries, thankfully. By the way, just to clarify, David Doyle, not David Dole. David Dole has not shot anyone, just to be clear. But this is like, to the extent that any right wingers in media or politics or whatever see this, they would just be cackling with laughter because the plan is working so well. Because so long as the country is filled with people who are terrified of shadows in their yard, then they're not gonna probably be terrified of the fact that they might never retire and they might never own a home, and one medical emergency will wreck them and their pay will never increase and their kids will be worse off than they are. Those are the sorts of existential fears that people should be prioritizing. Instead, we're worried about little girls playing hide and seek.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And what man is threatened by two young women getting into their car? Like, honestly, two teenagers in there. It's unbelievable. It's just the reality is that people, these people are really trigger happy. They got mental health issues. They're miserable. They're angry. They need to exercise this, whatever this is, and they need a reason to shoot somebody. And they are now they are being enabled to do it.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, we do have a lot more to talk about, so don't go anywhere. Okay, with that, if you're just joining us now, everyone please hit the like button. We've got a lot more news to get to. We're gonna have some lighter stuff. We're gonna have an appearance of Congressman Ro Khanna coming up after the turn of the hour. For now though, more serious news. Let's jump to this. We saw there began initially as a vigil for Jordan Neely, killed not too many days ago, and eventually became a protest. There was some clashing with police that the police definitely didn't instigate in any way. They would never do that. And multiple people were arrested as a result of it. So you had a good number of people who were, you know, trying to make their position clear when it comes to what they see as the massive injustice in the killing of Jordan Neely. You can see the people were injured. This photograph right here, someone looks pretty badly injured right there. We also have Mayor Eric Adams defending the cops, answering a question about his communications with the family of Jordan Neely. Take a look at this.
Mayor Adams, I wanted to ask you if you've spoken to or plan to speak to Jordan Neely's family. I know they put out a statement asking you to talk to them, and I wanted to get your take if you plan to speak to them or if you have already.
Reached out to them several times to give them my condolences. Many people missed in this whole thing. My son's name is Jordan.
Sir, I also wanted to get you, police were arresting journalists and other people out protesting Jordan Neely's killing. I don't know if you had a comment on that or wanted to.
What was found at the scene was a Molotov cocktail. What were they planning on doing with it? Agitators that come from outside our city with Molotov cocktails, we should all be concerned about that.
Even credentialed journalists who were arrested? And when did you speak to the Neely family?
I reached out to them several times.
Today?
To reach them, yes.
Okay, great questions by Katie in that video. The deflections that he attempted to use. My son's name is Jordan. Oh, well, in that case, no further questions, I suppose. The fact that journalists were arrested at that protest. Well, it doesn't matter. That's not a concern. Why would you even turn around and face a journalist asking a question like that? After all, as you pointed out, there was a Molotov cocktail that was found. Look, I'll even mentally engage with the idea that someone involved in the protest had actually brought it. You'll notice that he immediately turned to people bringing Molotov cocktails. And what were they planning to do with it? He doesn't mean the person who brought it. He means everyone at the vigil, everyone at the protest, the reporters that were there. You can safely ignore all of them. They're irrelevant. Their perspective does not matter because someone had a Molotov cocktail that thankfully was not used. Ida, what do you think about this?
I mean, I'm in awe. My mouth dropped because I hadn't seen that video. When he said, my son's name is Jordan, you mean your son who's alive? His name is Jordan, and there are a lot of Jordans out there. But you know, this thing right here that we see from these public officials that we employ, we have to use the right language when we talk about them because they actually talk like they are our leaders, they talk like they are kings. We employ these people, these are public servants, and they no longer have a spirit of humility, of gratitude when it comes to their constituents, nor do they have any compassion or care. We already know that this attitude towards the press that really, really got really heightened during the Trump era has become volatile towards journalists, you know, but you know, the fundamental reality of the loss of life, Jordan Neely was lynched in public by a person who took it upon themselves to take this man's life. Now people are protesting because they realize how close to home that is. We talked about guns in the last segment, but there are people who are just taking people's lives because our lives really don't seem to matter to anybody. And when you talk about black people who've been fighting for the value of their lives since they were abducted and brought to this country, it is, I mean, this man was smiling when they put the cameras in his face. You know, that's a political theater that we are now so used to. The fact that he's like, let me put on my best face for the camera. This is my good side. And let me make sure that I answer these questions. It is just, I feel bad for us as people of color, because when we see people who look like us and we assume that they are on our team, we have to employ our logic to realize that they are not. And when you see this foolishness and this Molotov cocktail that one person brought, the audacity of an American to be violent against one of the most violent institutions in this country, it is just appalling that anybody would retaliate. I asked for directions in New York from a cop, and he was so aggressive and volatile towards me that another cop stepped in and was like, yo man, relax, he's just asking you for directions. I do not ask, nor do I engage with NYPD. So it feels like we're in the upside down. And those of us who have a little bit of logic left because we have to fight for it, it feels like, oh my goodness, you can't even have a conversation with certain people because people are fully indoctrinated. The education system in this country is trash. And the average person is too busy trying to survive to understand how the law works, that these people work for them. It's so sad. It's so sad what's happening. And unfortunately, the poor black and brown people suffer the most. And as many people try to divide us, the reality is that if we don't find solidarity, we'll never have a solution, because the government has never done anything for us. It has always been the people who have had to force the hand of change.
Yeah.
I'm angry.
Well, I mean, he said that his kid's name was Jordan. He did that. I guess that's something. That was, you know what that was? Like, correct me if I'm wrong. That was him trying to do the Obama thing of, you know, if I had a son. Was that Obama? Is it, if I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin? I think I'm probably getting every detail of that wrong. The difference there was that Obama appeared to actually care.
Yeah.
And like was trying to show empathy rather than just end a conversation. Yeah.
No.
Someone in the chat said, so if it was your Jordan, would you give a damn? Because it doesn't seem like you do right now. Like, Could you care as much about the person being choked out as you care about the Molotov cocktail that wasn't thrown? And people are saying it wasn't even a Molotov cocktail. I don't even know. I'm even saying, even if it was, they care so much more about that. And by the way, nobody, don't bring a Molotov cocktail, because look at how easily they use it to try to disregard what everyone actually feels. But I want to jump to. Yeah, I don't necessarily. I'm just saying. Yeah. Well, look, you talked about how little people care about black and brown lives being lost. Here's a hypothetical. Which would be worse? If they just came out and just admitted it, that they don't care, or if they continue to do what they do virtually every time, and what they're doing in this case, which is, no, it's not that we don't care about him. It's that, did you know that he was bad in the past? Did you know that he did bad things? Did you know that he said bad things? And do you know that right now that justifies him being killed? That is what everyone on that side is saying, some more explicitly than others. But the family attorneys for the Neely family pointed out, the truth is he, the former Marine who did this, knew nothing about Jordan's history when he intentionally wrapped his arms around Jordan's neck and squeezed and kept squeezing. He never attempted to help him at all. In short, his actions on the train and now his words show why he needs to be in prison. But even less knowing is all of the people saying, oh, well, he was, it's the same thing they did in Kenosha. If after the fact you were bad, then in the moment, people who don't know anything about that are justified in killing you, which is not how morality works. It's not how causality works. It's not how time works. But for them, it is all it takes, Ida, to be like, oh, good, I have an excuse now. I don't give a damn about Jordan Neely, and I never would. But now I feel better about not caring. I'm an elevated intellectual moral being in not caring about the fact that he had the life choked out of him.
Yeah, and the fact that is funny, because when it comes to these white men who are shooting up churches and schools, they have mental illness. But when the black victims are murdered and lynched, but they have a violent past. And it's the double standard. And you know, quite honestly, John, it's exhausting. I'm tired of having this conversation. We've been having this conversation for hundreds of years now. The lady who accused Emmett Till just died without ever being in trouble for doing that. So I think at this point, I just think we need to start having conversations about solutions. And those should be community conversations that don't even involve those people, because those people don't give a damn about us. They never have and they never will. We have to care about ourselves, and we have to be the ones to initiate change.
I agree. Thank you to everybody who participated in the vigil, in the protest. You, especially in that area, never know what's gonna happen as a result of that. So I do appreciate it.
Yeah.
Anyway, with that said, let's jump very briefly to one more update. There's so many stories that we're trying to track, and it's difficult, but we're gonna do as much as we can with the time we have. Let's jump into this. The threats had been out there, and now they have been made good on. Donald Trump has been gagged by the judge in terms of social media posts when it comes to his trial that's still ongoing in terms of Stormy Daniels, the hush money payments and all that. This is a state Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, who had been the target of many deranged social media posts by Donald Trump, fulfilled prosecutor's request this week in issuing a social media gag order on the former president. This is in relation to the criminal charges over the allegations that he oversaw hush money payments. Okay, and I mentioned that because, as you'll see going forward, some people are confused about that. So why did they do this? Why did they stop him from posting about it? I don't know for sure, but I think it might have something to do with the death and destruction tweets, or him repeatedly attacking Alvin Bragg, or attacking the judge and the judge's wife, and identifying the judge's daughter, and attacking Stormy Daniels. Basically, everyone involved in this case was being viciously attacked, and he kept being warned to stop it, and he didn't. And so now the gag order has happened. Oh, also along the way, there were two different letters of white powder sent to Alvin Bragg. This is in relation to the first one. Now, there's a couple of things coming out of this that you need to understand. One, in theory, were he to violate this, then he could be, it doesn't mean he would be held in contempt of court, which could potentially land him temporarily in jail. I don't think that will happen, but it could. And coming out of that, this is so interesting. Donald Trump bleated, he doesn't have any idea what's going on in the world. Waiting for a jury decision on a false accusation where I, despite being the current political candidate and leading all others in both parties, am not allowed to speak or defend myself, even as hard-nosed reporters scream questions about this case at me. In the meantime, the other side has a book falsely accusing me of capital R rape and is working with the press. I will therefore not speak until after the trial, but will appeal the capital U unconstitutional silencing of me as a candidate, no matter the outcome. That's a different trial that you're facing. What are you, he doesn't even know what he's being silenced in. Now, look, in defense of Donald Trump, I'm gonna offer two defenses of Donald Trump. The first is we've all seen the woman, man, person, camera, TV thing. His mind is mush, so it's hard to keep track of anything going on. The other is that he is being sued and or on trial in a lot of different areas, so I guess it's easy to mix them up. But one is the hush money to the adult film star trial. The other is the allegations of rape against E. Jean Carroll. Those are both important. I think you should show them the respect, Donald Trump, of differentiating between the two. So far as I know, he can still attack and abuse the people involved in all of his other trials online. Anyway, Ida, I apologize, but this is so ridiculous that this had to happen.
I was gonna say, all hail President Camacho. Idiot. You know, first of all, just a big shout out to Stormy Daniels, who has not been intimidated, threatened in any way to back off. She has done what how many people in our government haven't done, who've been punked by Donald Trump. And she has had more gall than Lindsey Graham. And name them all. What's his name from Jersey who was going to get laundry? What, Chris? I just got to shout her out because she is like, okay, all right, let's go. So whenever you have something negative to say about a sex worker, but
that's true.
I'm just sitting here in awe. This is the example of what I'm saying about while people do not really value how important education is. Education is driving all of this. There are people who have no basic information, who have supported and continue to support this man because they don't know any better. And it is really becoming an infection that is caught throughout the country. And now you have people who even have post-secondary education, which will show you that that means nothing to some people who are still reciting some of the dumbest things you've ever heard in the history of this country. And it is so sad that that man, a lot of people love Donald Trump because they can walk around saying, at least I'm smarter than the president. I know I was one of them. I was like, I come from the hood where we had bad books, bad teachers. You know, I lived in an environment where education wasn't prioritized. I can say that I was smarter than a US president. So we all is lost, my friends. We have to pick up the books and pick up the information, and we need to stop putting our dollars and stop funding our own oppression, because that is what's happening right now. You saw Israel shut down when they said, oh yeah, this is what you're doing? All right, we're not going to work today. And they shut down the whole economy. We have to think like that. We have to think like that, because they're never going to come save us.
No, none of the big national figures, certainly not, no. Okay, everyone, that was a little bit fun. We got more fun coming though. So we're gonna take a short break. We come back, Ron DeSantis, things are not looking good for him. We're gonna break it down after this. Sometimes the week of news is just about guns. Pretty commonly, actually, in the United States. I wish it wasn't. Queen of Hearts is suggesting the name Anya. I do like that name. It's not the one we've landed on, but thank you. And no, I am not naming my daughter John Wick. Anyway, it's beautiful though. Okay, with that said, let's get to some more news, starting with this. For some time now, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been seen as the natural pick amongst the never Trump Wall Streeters to take on Donald Trump. He is considered more stable, more reasonable, more likely to actually successfully pursue their agenda than the wild, temperamental Donald Trump. The issue is that he's terrible when it comes to being a candidate, and he's suffered through a number of needless gaffes and this needless war with Disney, where now he's being sued for violating their First Amendment rights. And I'm not the one telling you that that's a concern. All of these sources on Wall Street are saying that that's a concern, and they are ready to throw him under the campaign bus. Here's some quotes from one Dave Carney, veteran Republican strategist. Says people will change horses. You may get really excited about somebody and then all of a sudden realize, not really my cup of tea. Another GOP donor in New York says it was wait and see. And this is why we're not the only ones who are happy with our decision to wait and see. One executive said DeSantis is certainly a better option than Trump at this point, but he's a really weak option. And so a bunch of these people rushed to Politico to tell them that they're looking for an alternative. All of that big right wing or just centrist Democrat money that was perfectly happy to have a Republican president as long as they cut taxes and stop regulation is now looking at DeSantis and thinking, this is like striking us as like another Jeb Bush, another potentially Ted Cruz. It isn't working out. And so they're looking for someone else. And it's funny that like just as this comes out, Donald Trump gets involved saying, DeSanctimonious put off his announcement until June because his numbers are so bad. He also got rid of his ridiculous exploratory committee because he didn't like what they were telling him, MAGA. And the thing is, look, we are very used to Trump like weirdly like gloating over people or lying and exaggerating all that. But right now, like I kind of feel like he's onto something. If you look at the polling, it's not looking great for Ron DeSantis. He had been narrowing the gap for a while with Donald Trump, and now he's at like close to an all-time low in long-term polling against him. So look, the idea that Wall Street is frustrated with their future, that gives me a lot of pleasure because I despise them. But it is bad news for Ron DeSantis. Ida, what do you think?
Well, if there ever was an indication that the people do not select their president and run the country, this is it, right? We have a whole bunch of rich people discussing a lot of, money people, donors discussing who should be the next candidate, who should get the most money put behind them. I read DeSantis has $80 million. Nikki has this million dollars. We have a whole city of people who don't have a place to live, where 30% of them are former veterans in this country. And another 20% of them are former foster children who have aged out of the system. So when you think about the fact that those numbers are like really, really big, and I may be wrong, they might be bigger than that. We sit here and think about all this money that is going towards the proper campaign for the proper person to make sure they put in the proper laws to keep the corporations making all the money, and the people continue to suffer and struggle. And it makes me furious to think about that kind of stuff, that the conversation around who is going to be of service to the people has nothing to do with the people nor the people's issues, but who can draw the most money based on looking the best for this campaign. And that is why people are moving to Canada. Yeah. This is why people, 100%. I know people who've moved to Canada, people who have left the United States, and those bigots will say, good, get out of here. Poor Native Americans, First Nations people who have to watch their land being destroyed in the way that it has been, and what is being prioritized above the planet and humanity. But it's just embarrassing that these are the choices for us. People who could give a damn, and poor people who will suffer the consequences the most, many of them are behind these people and don't even realize that they are actually feeding the monster that is going to crush them at the end. And I don't know, sometimes that makes me feel like, well, good, they're gonna get crushed. But then many people get crushed in the process who don't deserve to get crushed. So not good that they're gonna get crushed. If only they get crushed alone.
We need more selective crushing. But yeah, in terms of the choices, then too, like think about it from the point of view of Wall Street. We're like, oh, DeSantis is like terrible. He's not likable and everything. Oh, we're gonna be stuck with either Trump, who is probably gonna cut their taxes again, at the very least would never raise them. Or I don't know, maybe Biden beats them. And then like they're quoted as saying like, we're gonna get stuck with this old guy who's gonna regulate and raise our taxes. Who? Which old guy? You're talking about Biden. He's gonna raise your taxes. He might campaign on it. He might put a bill forward. What are the chances that's actually gonna happen?
And so, they're all old guys. They are all old guys.
Yeah. Yeah, Ron DeSantis is younger than them, but he's still an old guy in his mind, in his interests, in his politics.
Based anyway. On those the ageist ideologies, they're all old. Because what, you're old now once you turn 35. So change the rules and let somebody younger get in office that has that blood that really wants to make change.
Yep, we've got another GOP creep for you. And you'll be shocked to find out that this creep we're gonna profile is a big anti-groomer. He's like supporting legislation to stop the grooming and sexualization of children, and then wait until you find out why we're talking about him. This is Brian Slattin. Okay, he's a Christian conservative, he says. Back in the news as of yesterday for resigning from his office. Well, that's noteworthy. Not a lot of people like willingly step down once they've gotten into the political system. He had a reason though. A panel found that he had had an inappropriate sexual relationship with a 19-year-old intern. Now, granted, 19-year-old, I guess, isn't a 14-year-old or whatever. But if like the key to your politics is that you're against the sexualization of children, wrecking your marriage to hook up with a 19-year-old intern at that certainly seems like an interesting choice. Anyway, we had previously talked about Brian Slattin. He was accused last month of having sexual relations with a young intern he invited to his apartment in Austin, with the Texas Tribune reporting that he drank alcohol with the underage subordinate. Bipartisan House committee determined that this was in fact the case, writing that the lawmaker, quote, engaged in inappropriate sexual conduct with a subordinate. He has been one of the states, this is Texas after all, loudest voices decrying the sexualization of children, telling OAN last year, this is just going to the grooming, the sexualization of our children. This comes down to decency, morality, and ethics. And children should not be the object of your sexualization, your desires.
Yeah.
Again, 19 of legal age, but if this is your whole thing, if this is your whole thing about morality and ethics and all of that, you got an interesting way of showing it. Also, heavily sexual harassment, by the way. You have an incredible amount of power over a 19-year-old intern. So it is gross in like 7 different ways simultaneously. What do you think, Ida?
I mean, first of all, it is legal, right? Because she can have sex with a man, but she can't buy her own beer. So
yeah.
You know, her cerebral cortex isn't fully developed. But you got to think that to those people, a woman is 12. So children are little kids to them. That pedophile, you know, that I can't even get it out of my, it messes with me as a person. That mentality of people who try to change the legal laws of what adulthood is because it's convenient. You know, a 19-year-old woman to them is a full-grown woman. And here is just a college student who can't buy a drink, or you know, someone who can't rent a car at Enterprise. You know what I mean? Like it's always what adulthood is defined by what is convenient for them when they have that mentality. Because what does somebody that age have in common with someone that is 19 years old? What do you have to talk about? And why do you feel so small? Your ego must be little where you have to talk to someone like that so that you can feel you're on par with someone, because a grown woman is probably too much for you to handle. That is disgusting. And me, not to take away agency from a young woman who's 19 years old, I will always advocate for people who are the young people who are being abused by those in power.
Yeah, it's all projection. Like the more they talk about this stuff, it's why they're doing it. And you know it because like, and I'll end on this. Like you listen to like Matt Walsh's old stuff, like teen girls are for breeding. That's what they say. They're okay with the child marriage. They're okay with lowering the age of consent. Teen girls are for breeding. Teen boys are for working in the meatpacking plants. Like kids can do all sorts of stuff according to them. All of the stuff about trans people and LGBTQ community, it's not about actual concerns about pedophilia, because they don't mind the sexualization of kids. It's a convenient way to dehumanize and demonize the community. That's all it is. That is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of our show. But we do have more news coming. We have Representative Ro Khanna coming. So don't go anywhere. Ida and I'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.